This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Well, I have to share with you that this morning is a little bit different for me. I'm kind of stepping out of my comfort zone because, you know, for those of you who know me well and have heard me preach, you know, I'm the teaching pastor, which sounds very formal, but I love teaching and preaching from the Word of God. So my comfort area is, as Art typically does, is for us to be in a portion of Scripture and to go verse by verse and to understand the context in which it was written and to look at what the applications are. But I'm going to go off on a little different path this morning, and we're not preaching from any portion of Scripture. But I want to tell you that from the beginning of this season, as I began praying in anticipation of Christ's birth, to celebrate Christ's birth, these words from 2 Corinthians 9:15 came to me in my prayer time. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And so God just began to spin a message from that. But I know, as you come here this morning, and it's the weekend before Christmas, I know that this is the time of year when we think back to the three wise men who went to see the baby Jesus, and according to Matthew, presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, we've heard that story so many times, and yet as I was reading it these last couple of weeks, I discovered a often overlooked theological fact. In the account of the birth of Jesus, there is absolutely no mention of wrapping paper anywhere. Did you notice that? Listen, if there would have been wrapping paper, Matthew would have told us so. It might have gone something like this. And lo, the gifts were encompassed about with 7 square cubits of paper. And the paper was covered within and with pictures of snow upon it. And Joseph purposed in his heart to cast the paper into the barrel of refuse. But Mary said, "Cease, man, drop the decorative parchment. It shall be set aside for future generations." And Joseph didst roll his eyes. And behold, it came to pass that the babe was more interested in the paper than the frankincense. But these words don't appear in Scripture, which only means that the first Christmas presents were not wrapped. Now, one could argue there's a very good reason why the wise men did not wrap the presents. Two reasons. A, they were wise, and B, they were men. I don't know about you guys, but I can take a gift the size of a deck of cards, place it in wrapping paper the size of a volleyball court, and by the time I'm done wrapping it, inevitably there is still a little portion of that gift sticking out somewhere. Guys, can you relate? Yes. So what do? I try to take pieces of paper and, you know, tape it over and make it, you know, hide it, or I found a really creative way is you find a marker that matches the paper and just color the box of the gift so that it kind of blends in. April, on the other hand, my wife, she could wrap a cargo plane and have it be flawless, but the person who takes the cake is my mom. Now, I certainly want to honor my mom, especially since she listens to this on podcast. I love you, Mom. Merry Christmas. But my mom is, she prides herself on being able to wrap presents with just 2 little pieces of scotch tape. Why? So that we can save the paper, you know, for future generations. And, you know, my mom is one of those who, if a gift requires batteries, she will wrap each battery separately, which I think borders on mental illness. But, you know, growing up as a child, it was actually kind of nice because we didn't have a lot. So my mom wanted us to be able to experience opening more presents. So she would act, literally, she would take, if it required 4 AA batteries, she would take each battery out of the package, wrap it up. We'd see the little thing, you know, "Oh, I wonder what this is. It's a battery. Oh, I wonder what this is. It's a battery." Well, we knew something that was coming was going to require batteries. But why do I mention all this? Because I don't know about you, I don't really like wrapping presents. I love unwrapping presents. I love to unwrap them, and I love to watch other people unwrap the presents. As a matter of fact, I love a lot about Christmas. I'm one of those, I love the crowds and the throngs of people. I love the busyness. I love the snow. And I love the thought, all the thought that goes in to getting the people I love that perfect gift. And I guess we've all been in a position when we've received that indescribable gift. In my household, you know what it was? My mom, again, she actually numbered the tags. So we'd go to get a gift, and she goes, no, you're not on that number yet, because it was all built up for the climax of the greatest gift, right? And where was it? Was it under the tree? Where was it? In the closet, right? And I remember the Christmases where you're going, I mean, she had kind of set a standard, you know, that indescribable gift was always hidden away. And then there's that Christmas where you open it up and it's like, that's great. You mean there's no gifts in the closet? There's no more gifts to come? But think about it, parents especially, when your children or husbands and wives, when you see that loved one or when you yourself have received that gift that just takes away your words. And I see all of this, trying to find that perfect gift as a challenge and an adventure, especially when it comes to buying something for my wife, April. And it hasn't always been easy, though. But after many years of marriage, I have developed 4 criteria when it comes to buying a gift. And in the process, as I reflect on this Christmas season, on the message of Christmas, I am reminded of the greatest gift that we have received from our Heavenly Father in the very person of Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Or as one translation puts it, a gift too wonderful for words. So think about that for a moment. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Well, what makes that gift so indescribable? When I buy that gift for April, what makes it so indescribable? And we're going to look briefly at a couple of things that the Lord's just impressed upon my heart that I hope brings you encouragement as we come to this time of year. And the first thing that describes that indescribable gift, God's gift is personal. God's gift is personal. It's got to be personal. You know, first and foremost, isn't it true? I want to make sure that that gift that I get for April will be personal. I want to find something that she can really appreciate. You know, there's a really funny video on YouTube of a it's called The Dog House. And it's a parody about the gifts that men buy their wives, and then they wonder why they're in the doghouse. And it shows this wife, and she's opening her present for her first anniversary, and she's ripping it open, and she goes, a vacuum cleaner? And he goes, yeah, but it's dual bag. And she's like, a vacuum cleaner? And she's like, yeah, but it's dual bag. So he, of course, she goes, come with me. And she takes him, and he gets into the doghouse, and it goes down, and there's this whole, you know, group of guys there. And of course, this guy's nickname the whole time is, hey, dual bag, what did you do to, you know, to end up being here? And he's like, what did I do? And of course, he has to learn that was something that he wanted, but it's not something that she wanted. That was not a personal gift. And I think that one of the things that we can receive today, this morning, is stop and just reflect for a moment. Can it get any more personal when we come to that realization and the revelation that God knows each one of us personally? He knows you personally. This is so beautifully told in Psalm 139. Look at what it says. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And when you stop and think about it, and I think it's important that we do that. This is a mind-boggling thought, isn't it? That the God of the universe knows each one of us personally. He is not some abstraction. He's not some mystical higher power. Instead, God desires to relate to each one of you, to you and to me, on a personal level. Listen, God couldn't possibly make himself any bigger to impress us. So he made himself smaller to come alongside of us. He knows us personally. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He knows our names. He came in that tiny baby. And think about it for a moment. It was so neat. A beautiful illustration was given to me this morning. One of our couples that lives right over here on 80th. Sean and Stephanie Warren, they have a new baby, Blaine. And just the cutest thing. How many of you have ever seen a newborn baby? Or last night, David, I used Marcus as an example. You know, have you ever placed your finger inside a baby's hand? And what happens when that baby tugs at it? Man, it just doesn't, the baby's not just tugging your finger. That baby just tugs at your heart. And Christmas is the powerful grip of a tiny hand reaching out from a bed of straw. It's love tugging our hearts back to God. As the Bible says, God, invisible in his own nature, became visible in ours. Beyond our grasp, he chose to come within our grasp. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you see how indescribable this gift is? It's so personal. This is the intimately personal nature of Christmas. God gave us his Son for our sake. Isn't that the verse that we know so well, John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave us what? His one and only Son. Such a personal gift is indescribable. And we can't even fathom the breadth and depth of God's love. But listen, God, I want you to know, God's love and his gift to us wasn't just a one-off, which ended when Jesus died for our sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He died for our sins, but then he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The Bible tells us that when he returned to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to live within anyone who would believe upon Jesus Christ so that everlasting life and life to the full could be given now. So in giving us his Son, that's what it's all about. When he sent Jesus to earth in that manger, and then he gave us his Holy Spirit, the gift of his Son, the gift of his Spirit, God has drawn us into a personal relationship with him. He's come to dwell within us. Isn't that what we sing? O come, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, which means God with us. This Jesus has come for all who will choose to make room for him at the end of their heart. It's an indescribable gift that could not be more personal. So that's where we start. When we say this gift is indescribable, it's a personal gift. There's thought, there's sacrifice that went into it. But then the second thing is, this gift is also practical. It's practical. Listen, that vacuum cleaner may have been a practical gift, but it wasn't a personal gift. When I buy something for April, I want it to be personal, but I also want it to be practical. And I think that all of us can say that we've gotten a few presents, we open it up, and we go, what is this? It's about as practical as a paper teapot. And we're like, I said chocolate teapot last night, but a couple of ladies came up and said, that's practical, I could eat it. I may not heat it, but I could eat it. So I changed it to paper teapot. You're not going to be able to light that thing on fire. But sometimes people will even get a gift just to make a point. Like my brother, the handy one, he'll send me these DIY books, do-it-yourself books, because he knows how inept I am, just to make a point. Listen, Santa Claus may bring you what you want, but God delivers us something that we cannot even fathom, something we don't deserve. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's the practical gift? God's practical gift is this, friends. It's forgiveness. Plain and simple. It's forgiveness. It's personal, but it's practical. Why? Because he forgives us of our sins. And in the weeks leading up to Christmas, isn't it true? We do a lot of things. It's a busy time of year. We do a lot of tidying. We do a lot of cooking and baking and cleaning of our house. We even go get a haircut with what little hair we have left. And we spend how many hours, guys, decorating the house and hanging up the lights? There's a lot of joy in that, isn't there? Oh, if we had tape recorders to hear how much fun we're having hanging those Christmas lights. And so we spend all this time decorating and our houses and our external appearances, but Jesus is more concerned with what's on the inside. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." His practical gift, friends, is to cleanse our hearts. This changes us from the inside out, not about what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. He comes in a personal way, and he transforms our life. He sets up residence, and he begins to change our attitudes and our thinking and our behaviors and our mindset. We need to continue to pray, as the writer of Psalms says in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So while we're busy, decorating our lives, God wants to come in and decorate our hearts. And he does this by taking out the old and putting in something new. And when he comes in, he says, "I don't want to just come in and just have one room of your house. I want to have total control of your lives." And far too often, I think that we only give God partial control. So friends, one of the things that I would hope that we would do, something that I've been doing in my prayer time, one of the ways that Christmas is always, always meaningful for me is I use the Christmas season as a time to say, "Lord, search my heart. You sent Jesus Christ." And I love that story of the inn. There's no room at the inn. Is there a part of my life that I'm saying there's no room for you, God? And I've shut him out. And as I begin to open up my heart and I allow him to come in, the whole meaning of Christmas and Christ coming and dwelling in the flesh and dwelling within begins to take on a whole new meaning. So God wants the best for our lives. He wants to be the influence of our lives, but he is going to wait for you to give him permission to do the work. Think about it this way. Think about how exciting it is. Parents, I think, can really relate to this, or sometimes those office parties. You know, you give somebody a gift, and you put a lot of thought into it, and they open it up, and they just go, "Huh," and then they move on to the next gift. Well, think about how God feels when he sent his precious gift of his son, and we just simply, "No, thank you. I don't need him in that part of my life. Thank you very much." Friends, are we hungry for what God has to offer us today? Are we? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which literally means the house of bread. Later in his life, Jesus went on to say in the same picture language, he said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never go hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." Bread satisfies and strengthens us. And Jesus came into this world to strengthen us. His gift is practical by nature, because when we receive Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit sets up residence within our lives and gives us this whole new, brand new kind of life. It's what we see in Galatians chapter 5 and the fruits of the Spirit. Is it not true that for those who have received Christ, we can say, "He has given me a whole new attitude. He's given me new patience. I love differently. I'm kinder. I have more self-control." If we had time, we could take the microphone and go around the sanctuary, and somebody could probably pick one of those: peace, self-control, patience, love, and say, "With Christ in my life, this is an area where he has transformed me." So listen, while your past may be stained with regret, and if maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, "You know what, my life isn't all that it should have been, all that it could have been," I want you to know the message, the good news of Jesus Christ is that God sent his only son so that even if your life is stained with regret, in Christ you are offered a new beginning. But we've got to respond to that gift that he gives us. It's personal, it's practical, it's indescribable. But the third thing is, it's also permanent. I love this one. God's gift is permanent. You know, when I give a gift to April again, I also want to give something that's permanent, something a little bit of lasting value, something that she'll treasure way beyond Christmas Day, something that isn't going to perish. You know, I think about, I see some of the little ones here, you know, the little babies. I'm just going to, and Matthew's going to be upset that I say this, but you know, if your children aren't 6 yet, don't spend a lot of money. They're not going to remember anyways. You know, I know that sounds so cynical, but I got to tell you, honestly, April and I, we gave birth to Lauren. She was our first daughter. She's a girl. So, you know, girls tend to get showered with lots of love and gifts. And boys should too, I think. Don't you guys? But listen to this. She was the first grandchild on both sides of the family and the first great-grandchild. So what happened? Lauren received all these gifts. And as parents, it was in the 80s. We were kind of at that place where we were starting to make a little bit of money. And so we went out I think she was like 2 years old. And we decided that we were going to spend all this money and get her one of those see and speaks or speak and says, or you know what I'm talking about, right? Help me out, parents. What are they called? We didn't spell it. It was just, you know, you pointed to a cow and you pulled the, what? See and say. So we bought her this see and say, even wrapped each battery individually. No, I'm just kidding. And so we spent all this money, and she opened it up, and you know what she did? She was sitting in her high chair, and she just went, bam, 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 bam. And then we pulled the lever. It was broken already. We spent all this money on it, and it was like, for what? And so I think that it helps us to be reminded that the gifts that we give on Christmas are not permanent. God's gift to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, is permanent. It's not perishable. It doesn't have to go back to the shop. Remember those words from John's gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son. But look at the rest of the verse. That whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Friends, I want you to know today, if you don't know this already, without God, without Jesus Christ in our lives, we are going to perish. That's the bad news. The bad news is that without Christ, we are going to spend eternity. We don't just turn to compost. There is an eternity for all of us. We spend eternity separated from him. And our loving Father knows that we are in danger. We're at risk of spending eternity separated from him. And that's why he sent us Jesus Christ. It was to give us the opportunity to spend eternity in communion with him. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life. God's gift never perishes. I love John chapter 10. I give them eternal life, Jesus says. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Listen, friends, I want you to be certain of something. One of the things that Pastor Art and the other pastors and I deal with on a continual basis from time to time is people who come and they say, how do I know that I'm saved? I sinned again. Does that mean that I've lost my salvation? And I'm not going to get into the doctrinal teaching there, but I believe that God's word is irrevocable. I believe that John chapter 10 and others that we're going to look at here in a second tells us God's gift is permanent. He doesn't give us Jesus Christ, give us his Holy Spirit, and then strip it away. And I always tell people, and this brings them comfort, listen, if you are at a place where you're really wrestling with that, if you're really grieved that you may have hurt God by your sin, and you're questioning whether you lost your salvation, let me tell you something. That's probably a really good indication that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And if you didn't have his Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even care. And they go, oh. So I believe that if you truly, truly have set your heart down in Christ, if you have received him, that there is nothing that can snatch you out of his hand. That means, though, that we don't just keep on sinning. Yes, our life is going to demonstrate that. And so look at what it says in 2 Corinthians, though. This, I believe, tells us we know God's gift is permanent. It says, these are beautiful verses. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. He put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, doing what? Guaranteeing. Not just, maybe. Guaranteeing what is to come. Eternal life. As it says in Romans, that what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one can snatch them from my Father's hands. Do you see how indescribable this gift is? That of all the gifts that God could have given us, it was a personal gift through his Son, Jesus. It's a practical gift, and that we need that forgiveness. We need that cleansing of our hearts. We need that transformation. And do you see how permanent it is? His word is irrevocable. His plans are irrevocable. So it is a permanent gift. And the last one is, makes it indescribable. And I got to tell you, I don't like to do alliterations very often, but by this time, I already had personal, practical, and those kind of flowed. So yes, I came up with purchased. I was going to say we were bought at a price. This didn't come free. We don't belong to ourselves, but just roll with me. God's gift is purchased. It helps you to remember. Personal, practical, permanent, and purchased. When I find a gift for April, no matter how personal and practical it is, I got to purchase it before I leave the store, right? Or something bad is going to happen to me. And God's gift, likewise, is purchased. It didn't come free. In fact, it came at a huge cost, friends, and we shouldn't discard it by treating it lightly. God gave his only Son so that he could come and rescue us. You know, I'm always amazed at how the Holy Spirit moves. Adam and I didn't have time, as we normally do, to compare notes and to spend time planning the worship set, because of all the snow and other things. And I came to him this week and I said, oh, I guess you're probably wondering what I'm preaching on, and you probably want to know my outline. And he goes, nope, I already picked the worship set. I was like, oh, because I had a great worship song. I thought, you know, Indescribable would have been a good one. But then I looked at what Adam had chosen through prayer. I was like, this is perfect. Perfect. What did we sing this morning? I called, you answered. You came to my rescue. There it is. In my notes, God came to our rescue. He came to rescue us from our sins. You know what, friends? Think about it this way. You know when lifeguards rescue someone who's drowning out in the sea? They swim out to that person, and if they're fighting to save their lives, they actually will tread water and wait for that person to expend themselves of energy. Why? Because we all know, and they know, that anytime you try to save somebody who's trying to save themselves, you know what's going to happen? They're going to drag you under. They're so frantic that they're going to drag that lifeguard under, and then both of them are going to drown. So they wait until that person is depleted of energy so that they can then take a hold of the drowning person and bring them safely back to shore. And similarly, if we try to save ourselves, God can't save us. God purchased us. Jesus saves us by purchasing forgiveness, our forgiveness, when he died on the cross. The Bible tells us that in 1 John. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only our sins, but also the sins of the whole world. You know, when I was younger, I was about 10, and I was the oldest grandchild on both sides of the family. I have the blessing of remembering my great-grandparents and being an adult even with two of my grandparents. But there were a lot of grandchildren that came after me. And I remember my grandmother on my dad's side. You know, she was one of those grandmothers that every year, Ruby, I don't know what you do with your grandchildren every year, but my grandmother would, up until a certain time, she would buy very personal gifts for each of us. So we always got a little gift. And you know, that was before gift cards, when people actually had to put some thought into things. Sorry, that sounded cynical, because I do gift cards too. And by the way, just a quick aside, gift cards to Starbucks and Forza are always the best. But anyways, this was before gift cards. So grandma would always buy something, a little toy truck or what have you, and she'd spend all the money and put it in the mail, or the post, as she called it. But then it got to a place where there were too many grandkids. And she just couldn't do that anymore. So she decided that she was going to get fresh 10 crisp $10 bills and put them into each card. And so she did that. She wrote on each card, she wrote, Merry Christmas, buy your own gift. And put it, you know, was going to put a $10 bill. Well, she addressed all the cards, signed all the cards, put the words in there, and mailed them, only to realize after she mailed them, there was no money. All the $10 bills were still sitting on her kitchen table. Now, imagine how I felt as a 10-year-old boy. I love my grandma. I love the gifts that she always sent. And so now I'm always looking forward to her gift being mailed, and this card comes. Already it's unusual. And I open it up, buy your own gift. That didn't make me feel very good. But friends, that's the startling truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ has already purchased our redemption. We've got to now receive that gift, acknowledging that there's nothing more that we can do. Friends, we can't buy our own gift, okay? It's already been purchased for us. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, saved in a belief that he will come and rescue us. We can't save ourselves by thrashing about, trying to save ourselves by doing good works. Do you realize, friends, that God spent everything that he had on us? I just, never escapes me. Everything. And this is a gift that we should never want to exchange for anything else. As Christians, as believers in this culture today, we shouldn't want to exchange that gift for letters to Santa. We shouldn't want to exchange it for Christmas bargain sales. We shouldn't want to exchange it for the busyness of the season. All those things can be good in and of themselves, but if we use it to replace what Christ has purchased through his death and life, then we're cheapening it. And because he purchased us with a great price, it only stands to reason that if we're going to benefit from that, then we would follow the manufacturer's instructions. I don't know about you, but I dread those three little words on anything that I open up and it says, some assembly required. If April sees that, she goes, here, give me that. Let's keep peace in the household. I don't like seeing those words, some assembly required. I read a story once about a man who ordered a treehouse kit for his kids, and he got all the parts laid out in his living room. He had the instructions, but to his dismay, he discovered that while the instructions were for a treehouse, as he's trying to put it together, he's realizing the parts were for a small sailboat. So he was very angry, and he wrote a letter to the company, and after Christmas came this reply, "Dear sir, we are truly very sorry for the error and the inconvenience. However, it might cheer you up to remember that somewhere out there is a man on a lake trying to sail your treehouse." Not very comforting. My point is this, that in order to put something together, we've got to have the right parts and we've got to have the instructions. And I know, guys, we don't like to read instructions. But listen to this. God's gift is indescribable. What do I mean by this? The illustration that I came up with, and I was thinking in that whole thing with putting things together, is that when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he gives us the right parts, doesn't he? He begins to give us that right heart, the right mind, the right attitudes, the right priorities. And then we say, well, okay, but what do I do with this? Well, he gives us his instructions also through his word. So for best results, we realize that God's gift is so indescribable that he didn't just come and take up residence in our lives and then walk away. He gave us his word to live out our lives. It's amazingly simple. We can receive this gift. We can accept God's indescribable gift by simply believing. To believe means that we act upon it. It literally means to commit to or to rely upon something. God gave this gift to the entire world, but each of us have to take that for ourselves. We have to believe for yourself today that Jesus is who he says he is. He's not just some baby in a manger. He is God incarnate. He is the Word that became flesh. He is God. He came, he dwelt among us, he died for our sins, he rose again so that as the promise, the first fruit, so that we can have the promise that when we die, we will rise and be with him. And Jesus comes in and he floods our meaning, our life with meaning, with joy, with renewal, but only by imitation. 1 John 1, chapter 12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God." Children of God, what a great gift. You know, one Christmas I received gift vouchers for a department store. And unfortunately, I put them in my dresser drawer and I left them there and I forgot about them. And one day I came across them and fortunately, I was able to use them before the expiration date at the bottom. Gift vouchers have an expiration date. Fortunately, God has no expiration date. Jesus purchased our lives through his death on the cross. And we can come to him at any time and receive that gift. And that's your last fill, and that's really where I want to close this morning. I know it doesn't flow with the alliteration, but that's okay. It's close, PQR. Let's receive the gift. Let's receive it. Let's receive what God has for us. In 1985, January 26th, I found myself standing before a minister who asked me this question. Will you, Paul, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? I'm no fool. I said yes. And then he turned to my bride, April, just so we're clear, turned to April and said, "Will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?" And fortunately, she said, yes. And on that day, at that moment, through the willingness we expressed to commit ourselves to one another, April and I entered into a special, loving, permanent, personal relationship that has forever changed our lives. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much. He showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, on this morning, with crisp fallen snow and the peace that we have outside, the experience of God's presence within us today, let's remember that a little over 2,000 years ago, God gave an answer to the question of whether or not he was willing to enter into a loving relationship with each one of us. By sending Jesus to earth on that beautiful night, by coming to earth in the person of Jesus, he gave us a resounding yes. I do love you. And now he puts the question to each one of us. Will we answer with a yes? Will we say, yes, I am willing to believe and receive Jesus as the most indescribable gift of my life? Now, we have a man in the church who just last weekend received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was here last night. And he said, Paul, this is going to be the most awesome Christmas I've ever experienced. Maybe many of you have already received Christ into your lives. Will you say, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to surrender my life to him once again. Will you say, yes, I want to follow his instructions for my life. I don't want this to just be something that I've opened and then discarded. I don't want it to be something that I receive once in my life and then I discard it. It has no future meaning. I want to experience the fullness of who Jesus is and what he has to offer. God gave us this most amazing gift. The greatest gift that we can give him, the only thing he asks of us, but it's big, is our lives. He says, give me yourself. That's the relationship that he wants. Not just part of us, but all of us. All, every hour, every day, every year, not just at Christmas time. And all we have to do is believe and commit to receive that gift for ourselves. That personal, practical, permanent, and purchase gift that is ours for life. And friends, I just want to plead with us I want to plead with you, but I include myself in that. Let's not miss the wonder of the birth of our Savior, the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't let familiarity rob you of the joys that God has for each one of you. God is worthy of our praise. His gift is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. The good news of Jesus Christ is the greatest news ever to come. Praise be to God for his indescribable gift.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.